pray. Lord God, lead and guide this time. God, may my words be few, but may yours be many. May you speak truth today. God, penetrate in our hearts and touch us in some way. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want to say is I think we all love good love stories, right? Do you guys enjoy good love stories? Most of the women here would hopefully say yes. Those romantic comedies that you force your spouse to go to at times. I always want to see the action film, and my wife likes the love story a little bit more. But we love good love stories, right? And that's part of the scripture reading that we have in the scripture. It's a beautiful love story, right? So we're going to look at this. We're going to dive into it. And I just think there is an amazing love story that God has to share for us today. And that's what I want to talk about. So, diving into it, if you have Bibles, I encourage you to open it up. We're going to mainly be in Genesis 29. If you don't have one, talk to me afterwards. I would love to make sure that you have a Bible and encourage you to bring it on Sunday mornings as we dive into God's truth. There's not going to be anything up on the screens today, so keep your eyes fixed on your Bible or on the God's truth that I'll try to read out loud. So, looking at Jacob's story, I think there is a great love story in it. And maybe before I even mention that, I was thinking, what are some really good love stories I've heard? And one of them that was coming to my mind was this really cool one, because, again, I think God uses some unique ones. I think this love story is pretty unique in here. And one that kind of relates, we were on this mission trip to Chicago a few years ago, and we were serving in different places, and my group of a few of us were serving at this church, and it was really cool ministry that they were doing, but we were doing some grunt work, but the guy was sharing some of the stories that were going on in the church, and it was really cool how God was using this church, but he was willing to share his testimony with us, and it was an absolute amazing testimony. And I think I've shared a little bit of this, or you might have heard it, but this guy, I think, had recently been married, just barely married, and he was in a gang, and he actually he murdered somebody, and ended up going to jail, and he spent 20 years in jail. And he had just been married. His wife got connected with the church, and his wife came to know Jesus and stayed with him for 20 years. He got out of jail and he accepted the Lord in jail. And this was probably a year after he was working as a maintenance person in this church, and he was just so in love with his wife. He said, it's like a honeymoon right now. We've basically been together for less than a year. We've been married for over 20 years, but it's been like a honeymoon. And part of this, I've said, it's just kind of like this story here. This beautiful love story of somebody waiting so many years and then to be together, right? So, I want to share a little bit about the love story and how God, I think, has been speaking to me through it. So, part of the story, Jacob, he has tricked Esau, he has tricked his father, Isaac, and he is now fleeing. Because like it says in chapter 27 of Genesis, verse 41, it says how Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing that his father had given him. And he said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob." So Jacob runs off. There's an amazing story about Jacob's dream, and it in chapter 28, and it reaffirms a lot of the covenant, the promise that God had given Abraham, that he was going to have a place, that he was going to bless him, that he was going to have someone underneath him that we now know is Jesus, that all the world was going to be blessed through. Again, I'm trying to go through this quick. So Jacob arrives, and in chapter 29, Paddan Aram, and he's going to water the sheep. There's a well in a field. I'm going to read through this. Chapter 29, verse 1. Then Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. There he saw a well in the field and three flocks of sheep lying near it because the flocks were watered from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. And Jacob asked the shepherds, "My brothers, where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they replied. He said to them, "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" And he's looking for Uncle Laban. "Yes, we know him," they answered. Then Jacob asked them, "Is he well?" "Yes, he is," they said. "And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep." Yes. "Look," he said, "the sun is still high. It is not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to pasture." "We can't," they replied, "until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep. It's a heavy stone." While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. That sounds awesome to me. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. This sounds like it was a pretty amazing thing that he was able to roll this stone away. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. Isn't this getting good? As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." So, Jacob is about to have a little surprise here. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Good question, right? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. And I've tried to understand, what does this mean that Leah had weak eyes? Another way it's translated is has delicate eyes. And how do you say it any nicer than Leah was not attractive and Rachel was? Rachel was foxy. Can I say it that way? He really liked Rachel. Leah was an afterthought. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel." And it's interesting, I heard this, and it's interesting Laban's response. Because Laban's response is not yes. It is, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." Jacob took that as yes, but that wasn't exactly the response he gave him. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Right? It seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, my time is completed, and I want to lie with her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob. And Jacob lay with her. They don't have lights. It would have been a little dark. Maybe somehow God didn't reveal it to him. Wrong person. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her maidservant. When morning came, there was Leah. Surprise! So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this that you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Finally, Laban gave his servant girl Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maidservant. Jacob lay with Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he worked for Laban another 7 years. So, a little bit of the story. And here's the deal. When I read the story, it's kind of a neat love story, right? And I'll be honest, like, this is not the love story that God struck me with this week. It's not the story that God really was putting on my heart. See, you go through this story as you continue, and Rachel ends up not able to have children, and God sees that Leah was not loved. This is verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah becomes pregnant, and so she gives birth to Reuben. And she says this in response. She says, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She's conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. And these words all have meaning. Reuben means see a son. Simeon means hear. And she conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi, which means attached. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah, which means praise. And then she stopped having children. And the story goes on, and we see how Rachel gives her maidservant to him, and so there's children there. And then Leah, there's this dispute between the two, and so Leah gives her maidservant, Zilpah. And then finally, at the end of the whole story, we see chapter 30, verse 22, "And God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, 'God has taken away my disgrace.' She named him Joseph and said, 'May the Lord add to me another son,'" which later Benjamin comes. So you might be a little confused here where I'm going. The thing that struck me was, and it's why I love the gospel project that these kids are doing, because we hear all these stories, and I love the story about Joseph. I love the story about Joseph, and we're going to learn all about that in the near future. But is Joseph the one that the promise goes through? The promise that God is going to bless Abraham's descendants, and there's going to be a seed through him, again, that we know is Jesus. Is Joseph the one that goes through? It's not. And you'd think it'd be the firstborn son, but there's a lot to the story that we're not going to get into. But it's not Reuben, it's not Simeon, it's not the third son Levi from Leah, but it's the fourth son Judah. And I'd encourage you to read Matthew chapter 1. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible that goes through the lineage going down, but it shares how Judah is the one that God sent the promise through. And so when I say that I loved the love story this week, it really was the love story of Leah that I fell in love with. See, I think Leah had some of the same things that struggles that Jacob had. Jacob didn't feel loved. His dad loved Esau more than he loved him. His mom loved him. He was a mama's boy. That's great, but dad didn't love him the way that he loved his older son. And then here is Leah. I have to imagine that she knew she had weak eyes. She knew that Rachel was more beautiful. And it's said that she was hated. She was unloved by Jacob. And so I look at that love story. And I see how God poured out His love on her. And somewhere between having her third child and her fourth child, I think Leah fell in love with God in a total new way. I think Leah, maybe for the first time, realized that whatever I do, even if I have a son and having a son and having children was of huge value in a culture that didn't value women a whole lot, having that son made all the difference. And she kept thinking, I'm going to have this son and then my husband's going to love me. Well, I'll have this second son and then God's going to love, and then my husband's going to love me. Then I'll have this third one and now my son's going to love me. And finally, before this fourth son is born, I think she fell in love with God. And God somehow reached out to her and she experienced the love of God in a whole new way. And so then what did she name that fourth son that ended up being who the promise would be through? That ended up being the one that would save Joseph from his brothers that were going to kill him. She named him Judah, which means praise. For the first time, she didn't say something that was, I would say, self-centered. Rightfully so, she felt unloved. But for the first time, she just said praise. It's chapter 29, verse 33. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. And I have to ask all of us, how unloved do you feel so much of the time? We could go on and on about how we live in a performance-based culture. How it's all about winning, and if you're not the starter in basketball, if you're not the top salesman, if you're not the most beautiful, if you're not, if you don't have it all together, if you're not the best speaker, if you're not whatever it is, Satan uses those things to make us feel unworthy and unloved. And there's a mental health crisis in the country because of how much we feel unloved. So many people in this pit of despair because we don't feel our worth. And what I want to say is, if we can't find our worth in what God has done for us, You will always feel unloved. Your spouse will fail you. I shouldn't tell stories about my failures with my spouse. I've told some before. Silly things we've said, but Ashley and I were on a flight. Well, I'll sell this one. We're on this flight, and this couple in front of us, this guy was really loud in front of us, a young couple, and we could just hear the whole conversation like you can on a flight with somebody that's loud. And she says something like, did you think I was beautiful when you first met me? And you're just setting the guy up for failure when you say that. And he has some kind of like, yeah, I thought you were beautiful. And then he says, well, let's be honest, there wasn't a whole lot of choices. And we're like, Ashley and I are back there like, oh, wrong thing to say. And she was mad for the next like 45 minutes on the flight, and he kept on like trying to butter her up and like, we just wanted to say, run, run. He started talking about his old girlfriend, and there's more to the story. But we're like, just run from this guy. But I have to say, this gal, she was trying to find her worth in him. Our worth must be found in Christ. It cannot be found in what we do, but it needs to be found in what God has done for each one of you by sending His Son Jesus to die on earth for you. We look at outward appearance. God looks at the heart. God desperately wants you to just fall in love with Him, to praise Him, just like Leah ended up doing. So I don't know how you came today, how unloved, or what ways Satan is trying to attack you into making you feel unworthy, but I want you to know that a God, the God of the universe, loves you so much. He loves you just the way you are. He sent His one and only Son down to earth to die for you on the cross, so that you could live the fullness of life. You could have fullness of life, so you could know the better way to live, and so you could praise Him and glorify Him. So I'm going to close up in prayer. I just invite you this week to praise God in a new way. Whatever those things that Satan is using to just attack you and make you feel unworthy, I want you to give up to God, to praise Him, praise the one that knows each and every hair on your head. Just celebrate who God is. I'm going to read one scripture. And as we close up and I pray, we're going to sing a couple songs. But this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4, says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Let's pray. Lord God, we are all failures in some way. And we know we've failed You because we sin and we fall short of Your glory. And we know that in this imperfect world, we get beat down a lot. We're overlooked. We are continually told that we're not good enough. But God, may our worth be found in what You did for us. May we live in victory. May we live by praising You each and every day. And God, as we sing these songs to you and as we go forward today, may we be overwhelmed with the love that you have for us. And may we love others and pour out our love to them as we shout praises to you and as we're so excited to share about what amazing gift that you have for each and every one of us. So God, lead us as we go forward. And we lift up these songs of praise to you as we close up this service. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.